Are you that one friend in the friend group that loves to treat yourself? It's okay. You can be the one to refuse making coffee at home because there's a fancy coffee shop downstairs. Or opting for the extra legroom, I've done it, on the plane because your vacation is starting now, not later. Or buying extra when that certain something's on sale because it's saving money. Well, if you're treating yourself to the top options in everything in life, then why settle when finding a doctor? It is your health, after all. Enter ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book tens of thousands of top-tier doctors, all with verified patient reviews. So don't settle. Go for the best and find the right doctor for you with ZocDoc. With ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and a website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. All the docs have verified reviews from actual real patients. You can filter it for those that take your insurance, those that are located near you, or treat specific conditions you're looking for. I found it incredibly easy to use, and you will too. Go to ZocDoc.com/beyond and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/beyond. ZocDoc.com/beyond.
And welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm your host, Eric Fisher, and this is the show where I talk to the people behind the productivity. This week, I'm super excited to be welcoming back Laura Vanderkam to the show. Laura's been on the show twice before, and this time she's back to discuss her new book, Off the Clock, Feel Less Busy While Getting More Done. Which, when I heard that title, felt like an impossible outcome, so instantly I was intrigued. As I dug through the book, I found that it was a great way to change your perspective on time, and that time is limited and finite, but is also plentiful. To find out more, you'll have to listen to this conversation I had with Laura, and in fact, you're going to probably find that this conversation, more than most conversations in this show, ties together a lot of the different topics that are covered beyond the to-do list. When it comes to the perspective of time, it is such an overarching game changer that I can't help but think that this is kind of a gateway into productivity and doing it better and doing it right than a lot of other approaches. So let me get out of the way so you can listen in on this conversation with Laura Vanderkam. This week, I'm actually super thrilled to be welcoming back Laura Vanderkam to the show. Laura, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So when I found out that you had a new book out, you know, my instant instinct is, okay, I have to have you back on the show regardless of what the book's about, because, you know, you've been on twice before and you've written incredibly great books on, I wouldn't call them on productivity, but they're connected to it in a lot of ways, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's always a productivity element, but I'm, you know, always trying to get people to think about their time in a little bit of a different way.
When I saw what it was about, and in fact, the whole idea of feeling less busy but getting more done seems so contradictory that I thought, okay, how's she going to pull this off? And then I got into it and I realized, oh, you're talking about the perception of time and how we can kind of live in the in between of being so aware that time is this finite resource and yet at the same time living in it and feeling like we have more of it.
Yeah, I really do believe that time is precious and time is plentiful. And it sounds like that's a paradox, but one of the amazing things about paradoxes is that they often can both be true. Both sides can be true if you're viewing it from a broader perspective. And so that's really what I cover in Off the Clock.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then that's the other thing is Off the Clock feels like this kind of, well, I've checked out. Now I'm not getting anything done. And that's further there. You know, there's nothing that could be further from the truth. Again, this book is all about productivity and not about productivity. In fact, in the intro that I've not yet recorded but have written for this episode, so wrap your mind around that one, the things that you talk about in this book are so connected to all of the tangentials of beyond the to-do list, of not just being about the day-to-day checking off the things on your list, but about living in your life and you know, again, what you always talk about and talk about a lot is tracking your time, even in this book. And in fact, that kind of tracking your time, being accountable for your time, again, kind of feels like an antithesis to just sitting back and enjoying it, right?
Yeah, except, I mean, and as you know, you need to know where the time is going in order to transcend this sort of sense of ceaseless ticking. Because when I know where my time goes, I can feel more relaxed about it. I know there's not something I'm not doing, right? I know where the time is going. I know how much time I'm allocating to different spheres of my life, to different projects. I know what's coming up. I know what I've done in my past and sort of can celebrate that as well. And so this sense of satisfaction and knowledge is really what gives us time freedom. And I know, again, we got this paradox here, but the time discipline leads to time freedom. And I think if we can get our heads around that idea, it opens up all sorts of possibilities.
Yeah. And ultimately, we're talking about being a good steward of this finite but plentiful resource, right?
Yeah, because I mean, if we're not good stewards of it, we won't do what we want to in life. It's this gift we've been given and that we want to make the most of it and reach our potential and do what we can to make the world a better place while we're here. And part of that comes from using our hours wisely.
Yeah. And I think that's the other thing is if we're not practicing a mindfulness or an awareness, then it's happening whether or not we're aware of it anyway. So why not be aware of it and then have a proper perspective, right?
Yeah. And one of the things that makes time so difficult to use well is that it does keep passing, whether we think about how we are spending it or not. And so it is so easy to spend time mindlessly. And many of us do spend time mindlessly. I know I do. The good thing, though, about tracking my time is that I then have to acknowledge how much time I have spent mindlessly. And if I ever find myself saying, oh, I don't have time for X, Y, or Z, I can look at my logs and say, I'm pretty sure that you do have time for X, Y, or Z. You just elected not to do it. And that is sometimes a little bit of a bracing feeling, but I do think the truth sets us free.
So let's step back for a second because, you know, you with your past books have talked all about not only tracking your own time, but tracking the time of others and then basically coming to us like a scientist and saying, look what I found out. And I'd love to talk a little bit about what in your time logs led you to this subject matter in this way.
Yeah, I've been having people track their time for years. I have tracked my own time now continuously for 3 years, which is interesting to me. I'm not sure how interesting it is to anyone else, but I can see, you know, where my time has gone for every half hour of the past 3 years. And I am not about to bore your listeners with a recitation, but it's fascinating to see in black and white what our lives look like. And I think a time log is a good way to see that. For this particular book, I wanted to know how people felt about their time. And I wanted to understand why some people feel like they have enough time for the things they want to do. And other people do not feel like they have enough time for the things they want to do. And in particular, I wanted to take out the obvious variables. So we know from large scale surveys that people who work full time feel like they have less time for the things they want to do than people who do not. So we're going to go ahead and only take people who work full time. We're only going to look at those people. We also happen to know that people who have children at home feel like they have significantly less time than people who do not. So I also said, well, let's look at people who have children at home. So we have people who work full time, have kids at home. I had 900 of these busy people track their time for a day. And then I asked them questions about that day, which happened to be March 27, 2017. But it's a normal day. And I asked them how they felt about their time, how they, you know, felt about their time generally, how they felt about their time yesterday, various things about their lives. And then I could compare schedules of people who had the highest time perception scores and the people who have the lowest time perception scores. So what are the actual differences between people who feel like they have abundant time and people who feel like they are starved for time, pressed for time? And that is what this book is about, looking at the different strategies to make us feel like we do have more time.
One of the biggest things that I think stuck out to me was the finding that you typically will find a proper perspective, or what was it again? How did you put it? A higher time awareness or time score, the score?
Yes, I guess high time perception score, sense of time abundance, or any of those ways you want to describe it. Yes.
So basically, people who feel like they have more time or have all the time in the world, that it's because they have a proper perspective and they're doing something that I think is really unique. It's something that it's a kind of a mixture of things that I've talked about with a lot of different people on this show before, which is kind of one part morning routine, one part contemplative exercises, prayer, journaling, even exercise fits in there, that they're doing these things that other people are like, I don't have time for that. And yet these people are doing those things and have all the time in the world.
It is so true. Reflective activities is one of the variables I looked at. So any of those things that fit in those lines, journaling, meditating, praying, anything that makes you pause and reflect on your life. And people who had the highest time perception scores were far more likely to do these things. They did these things more times per week. They devoted more time to them than the people who had the lowest time perception scores. In fact, about, half the people who had the lowest time perception scores never did any of those activities. And it's not that these things take any time whatsoever. I mean, you could reflect in the shower. You could write in a journal for 3 minutes. And in fact, the people who had the lowest time perception scores, it's not that they had no leisure time. They actually spent more time on social media, more time watching TV, more time doing those sorts of things than the people with the high time perception score. So they had leisure time. They just used it in different ways. And so I'm saying if you elect to use some of that, time that you have a choice over how to use, if you use some of that for reflecting, what happens is that you look at your life and you see what you're doing with your life and you see what you have done with your life. And taking a few minutes to do this makes you feel like you have more time. So a very wise investment.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more. I think that, again, I probably have some blind spots there. A lot of people do, actually. We all do. When it comes to like, how am I spending my time? I feel like, I'm not wasting time spending too much time, on my phone or on social media or watching TV, etc. But if I were to be honest with myself and started to track my time, again, I don't consistently track my time, but every once in a while, it's like, all right, things are out of whack. I need to sit down and do that. So in fact, let's go there. Like, you have done it now for 3 years consistently. How would you suggest somebody who's a newbie at this start tracking their time or even just do like a quick audit?
Yeah. I mean, I would not say set out to do 3 years. That's probably should be a lot to bite off. First try a day. Like, you could sit there whatever time you're listening to this podcast. What have you done since you woke up in the morning? Okay. I mean, maybe you're on your morning commute, so you haven't actually done all that much at this point, but you can write down what it is that you've done and maybe just make, set an alarm for 4 or 5 hours from now. And then at that point, sit down and write what you've done for the past few hours. A couple hours after that, sit down, and so just maybe check in 4 times during the day to see what you've done since your last check-in. I use spreadsheets that are in half hour blocks to track my time. You don't have to do that. You can just write it down on a list, like a piece of paper. It really doesn't matter what tool you use, but just write it down and see and look over it and say, well, that's interesting. How many hours am I working? How many hours am I in the car? How many hours am I spending with my family or friends? What kind of hobbies am I doing? What is my leisure time? What am I sleeping? If you can get through a day, that is awesome. Then maybe you try another day. And I would encourage people, if they're going to try this, to do maybe at least 1 weekday and 1 weekend day, because weekends are part of life, and yet people never seem to think of them as typical days that they should track. And once you've done maybe 1 weekday and 1 weekend day, you sort of get a sense of what time you have. Then maybe you try it for a whole week. I think a week is a really good goal for most people. You can try to choose what you think of as a typical week. One of the first things almost everyone discovers is that there are no typical weeks, because you'll be like, oh, wait, well, that wasn't a typical work week because I had a dentist appointment on Tuesday morning. So maybe I shouldn't have done that week. But then you're like, well, but then the next week, you know, you had a power outage at your office, so everyone was working from home on Wednesday afternoon. Like, you know, there's always something.
Yes.
So that's an interesting phenomenon. But try to track for a week, because then you really see sort of the unit of life as we live it. People discover all kinds of things. A common one is that, you know, you might feel like you're working a lot. The actual number is often a little bit lower than people think it is. We tend to put a high number on feeling like we're working a lot. But it's good to know what that number actually is, because then we can say, well, what are the choices I wish to make within this time? How much time do I have when I'm not working, so I can choose good things to do within that not working time? You know, sleep is sometimes a little bit more heartening than we might have imagined. People often discover that they're sleeping less than they want during the week, but they may be making that up later in the week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so that the overall total comes out okay. Many people see that they do have some leisure time. Again, it may not be as much as they want, but it's not none, which is often the story that we are telling ourselves. None is a bit of a defeatist story. Nothing we can do about that, but not as much as I want is something we can do something about. We can, you know, make good choices within it. We can maybe try to scale it up over time. So these are all important things to discover, and is a good reason to track your time.
That's great. Yeah. I think that aiming for a week really is an ideal scenario. Cause I mean, if you get into a month, you're kind of overreaching in some ways, whereas like there's a natural rhythm to, you know, a certain amount of work days or school days with the kids or having a weekend that you can kind of say, yeah, okay, this is a natural, you know, recurring rhythm that we have 52 times in a year. And definitely starting first with a day, and even trying to say, okay, what is my ideal? What does an ideal day for me look like? Like, not even what is it that I have as a typical day when I'm tracking my time right now, but now that I know that, what can I aspire to as an ideal day? You know?
Yeah, an ideal day, an ideal week. I think a good way to think of this is maybe not ideal, but like a realistic ideal
day. Sure, yes. That's a great caveat to have.
Realistic ideal week. Because, you know, in my real ideal day, like I have a flying car and nobody else does. So I'm like, you know, the traffic is not bothering me. That is clearly not going to actually happen. But I might be able to say, okay, well, within the constraints of my current life, what would I like to spend a day doing? What would I like to spend a week doing? And then when you have that idea, you can start to say, well, how can I put more of those things into my actual realistic, real week and real day, and go from there.
I mentioned earlier this idea that you bring up in the book called blind spots. And obviously we're going to start to uncover those as we look at what we've tracked in our time, in our day and in our week. And how do we deal with these blind spots that are, in a sense, in our way as roadblocks to that ideal or realistic ideal day and week?
Well, we all have blind spots about our time, and I include myself in this category. I have, you know, when I track my time, I started doing it continuously. I discovered that I work fewer hours than I thought I do. I had tracked my time here and there over the years for a week, and I'd always worked about 50 hours a week. And then I started tracking my time continuously, and I realized that I had chosen very specific weeks to track in the past, which were weeks when I was working 50 hours a week, because I wanted to see that as my number. And then I was able to, you know, track my time continuously. I saw that I was choosing specific weeks. So when I looked at my time more holistically, I saw that I had blind spots with this. I thought I didn't spend much time in the car because, you know, most of the time I'm working out of a home office, but it turns out that in fact, I'm in the car for about an hour a day. And that was time that I was really doing nothing of any consequence with. I was listening to like top 40 radio, which I don't even like top 40 radio, but it was just on my car and I hadn't thought to do anything about it. So, you know, these are all blind spots that are there. And it's not really about this case of like, gotcha. Like I'm not trying to, you know, catch anyone like, oh, you said you had no time. And look, you're watching Big Bang Theory for hours, you know, Young Sheldon marathon. I mean, that's fine. If you love it, great. It's more that we want to know where the time is going so that we actually can use good data. I mean, you know, if we want to change things about our life, we want to make sure we're working from the right data. Because if you don't have it, how do you know you're changing the right thing? Like, if I had thought, oh, I'm working crazy hours, I need to scale that down, and then I track my time, I say, actually, I'm really not working all that crazy hours. Sometimes it feels like it, but it really isn't. Well, then I'm working with a different issue. I'm working with like, well, how am I managing my energy during my work hours? Am I making sure that I'm spending my work hours on the things I want to be doing that I find more energizing as opposed to the things I find so draining? Am I doing enough stuff in my personal life that makes me feel like these personal life hours exist as opposed to only work hours exist because those are the only ones I'm thinking of? We want to make sure that what we think is the problem is actually the problem before we solve it.
Yeah, totally. Because you can come across something and say, well, wait a second, I thought I was working a whole lot more, like you said, but in fact, I'm working a lot less. So then why do I feel like I'm working all this time that I'm in fact not? What's the deeper issue here?
Yeah. And often it's that it's draining for some reason, which let's figure out why that is. Or, you know, it's stuff that maybe isn't in your sweet spot and you want to be spending more time on the things you actually do enjoy. And also, I think it really is that people don't think about how they're using their personal and leisure time and, you know, to an extent their family time too. And when we don't think about these things, then that time feels like it's less there. It feels like it doesn't exist. I mean, I tell people that, you know, there's 60 hours between Friday at 6 p.m. and Monday at 6 a.m. It often doesn't feel like it, but that's quite a bit of time. Or if you track your time, my weekly spreadsheets start Monday at 5 a.m., go Monday to 5 a.m. So Monday, 5 a.m. is the start of the week, which means that the halfway point is 5 p.m. Thursday. Now, you think about that, like 5 p.m. Thursday sounds somewhat like the end of the week, yeah. but it isn't. It's the halfway mark. There's just as much time afterward. And yet it doesn't feel like it because we often spend less effort thinking about what we want to do with that time. We're less mindful of it. We're less, you know, intentional with it. But we don't have to be. We can be more intentional about it. And then that time will feel like it is bigger and more vast.
Well, and even people who start their week or, you know, by a calendar week where it's like Sunday morning, still Wednesday at 5 p.m. would be, I think, the shift, right? And that still feels like, whoa, this a whole half of a week is gone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's more time than we think is often the case. The problem is it just doesn't occur at the times that we're wishing we had more time. You know, it's sort of one of these difficulties of human nature that we wish we had more time, and yet some of the time we have, we are often wishing away. And so getting away from that wishing time away is key to feeling like we have more time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When it comes to fitness, what's real? How about when it really, truly fits your life? That's how Anytime Fitness sees it. Because our coaches see you. It's how they build personal plans that work wherever you are and focus on everything that matters, from fitness to nutrition to recovery, all so you can push yourself further than ever or just through the next rep. It's total 360 support for a real difference. That's Anytime Fitness. That's real AF. Visit anytimefitness.com.
You spend the whole morning getting everyone else ready for the day. Thankfully, with Burt's Bees micellar towelettes, you only need a moment to freshen up and get ready for yours. Made with at least 70% upcycled cotton, these 3-in-1 wipes effectively and gently remove makeup, cleanse, and hydrate, leaving your skin with no oily residue. Available in coconut and lotus or rose water. Visit burtsbees.com to shop now. Burt's Bees. By nature. For nature. For all.
Well, you've been able to free up a lot more time, or I should say, have a better awareness of the time that you had and then allocate it differently. You've been doing a lot more reading. Would you mind maybe taking that as an example of how going from tracking to a desire for something you want to use the time differently for and then actually accomplishing it?
Yeah. So I tracked my time. The first year I tracked, I had read 327 hours, which sounds really good, right? Like that's almost an hour a day. So certainly like I'm not, you know, not reading, but I noticed that I didn't have a whole lot of good books I could say I had read in that time. And it turned out a lot of it was like headlines, magazines that I, you know, didn't particularly care about to, you know, read enough self-help type magazines. You've read the same story on how air popped popcorn is a great low calorie snack about 10 times. Like I don't need to read that story again. And so I was looking at it, I was like, you know, I should make a change with this. And so I realized I do have reading time in my life. I just need better things to read. And so I started building in time to choosing books. I started looking at more of the list that Anne Bogle, I know some of your listeners probably listen to the What Should I Read Next podcast. If they don't, they should, because it's great.
Yes, they should. Or
read her blog, which is Modern Mrs. Darcy, that she has lists of, you know, different kinds of books. And you know, I could tell from the list, like whether I'd like a book or not. I certainly wouldn't like every book on the list, but I could tell from her write-ups whether I would like it or not. So that was helpful. I started, you know, reading a little bit more. I decided that I was not going to be cheap about book buying. Like, you know, I make my own lunch most days. Maybe I would just say, well, other people go out to lunch. I will use that money for books. So I would do that. I put the Kindle app on my phone. This was actually a huge thing. So if any of your listeners have not done this, put an e-reader app on your phone and then start loading ebooks onto it, because you will notice in your life that it is very easy to pick up your phone and look at it. And maybe you check email first, but then you do something else. And what is that something else? It's often you're cycling through the same news sites or apps or whatever. Use that time to read instead. Even in these little 5-10 minute chunks, you will get through so many books. I actually read War and Peace on the Kindle app on my phone in these chunks of time. I bet you could get through it too.
Wow.
Because there's a lot of time that we waste like looking at little things online. So I did that. I started tracking, you know, what books I was reading. And the result is that I've definitely been reading more. I've been using more of the time that is potential leisure time as reading time. And when I don't do these things, I notice it too. Like I spent a lot of time reading this weekend because I was reading a great book. I happened to finish it yesterday morning and I didn't have another book lined up. And so last night I was just scrolling through a bunch of like random stuff online and I was reading a couple of magazines that I didn't care about too that we happen to have around the house. I was like, wow, I feel like I haven't done anything this evening. I feel like this is such a waste of time this evening that I had leisure time and I know I didn't use it for anything I care about. And the upside of time tracking is I know that now. And you know, I'm not saying I always act on that knowledge, but I do know it. So I've got some books on order that should hopefully show up today or tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, and having that data, again, allows you to make decisions based on the truth.
Based on the truth. I mean, why base our decisions on something else? You know, we have all these impressions of how we spend our time, but let's find out for sure if they're true before we make any changes.
Yeah. Well, and one of the other things you talk about is not filling the time randomly or aimlessly, and even this idea of starting from a blank slate. Like if you were to start from zero and add back in the things you're doing right now, which things would you add first, and then which things would you leave off?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of benefit to be gained from, you know, starting from zero. Like if I was going to plan my schedule now, what would I do? And you know, there's a lot of stuff we would do, a lot of stuff we wouldn't do. And it's important to understand what those things are. Because just because you've been doing something doesn't mean you have to continue it. And, you know, that's a powerful thought. so think about that.
And then once you start adding things in again, you know, starting again from a blank slate, adding some of these other things, or I guess being more intentional to, you know, put memories in or time for memories, you know, like almost like landmarks in your journey through time in a way.
Yeah, this was one of the more fascinating findings, is that the people who had the highest time perception scores were highly likely to have done something out of the ordinary, something interesting with their time on the day they checked. I mean, this was a normal March Monday. There was nothing exciting about Monday, March 27, 2017. And yet people were doing stuff like going out to a movie that night or going to a salsa dancing class. I mean, that was on somebody's time log, or, you know, going to a big band concert. I'm not saying you have to do stuff like that. There was also things just like going for a walk with your family after dinner. But it's like doing something that made the evening more interesting than just, you know, dinner, TV, kids to bed, more TV, you to bed. Like that, we say, where did the time go? What we really are saying is, I don't remember where the time went. There was a great quote I found from, I think it was Alan Burdick, one of his books. But if we don't remember where the time went, time isn't memorable. We don't bother remembering it. And then if it's not a memory, it's like it's just gone. You know, it's just telescoped into memory, into nothing. So you want to feel like you have more time, put something a little bit different. Have these little mini adventures, and you will remember it. And the more memories you have, the more memory units you have, the more time it feels like there was.
Yeah, to have something special, again, I kind of call it like a landmark, where it's like, hey, we drove this far and then we stopped here and we remember the place we stopped, you know?
Yeah, you don't remember a lot of the driving. Well, and you think about it, like, so much of time we do pass mindlessly. I mean, you think about your morning commute. I mean, you're driving the same 30 minutes every single morning. Like, you're not using your brain to remember any of it. And I'm not saying you should. Like, yeah, there's some parts of life that are like purely utilitarian. But that's how time starts disappearing, is that so much of it is the same. You know, that every Tuesday morning you have that staff meeting and each one is indistinguishable from the other. So you don't remember them. And this is sort of, adult life can be sadly like this sometimes. But we can put in different things. We do have some control of our time. So consciously having a mind toward adventure can make life and time seem more vast.
Yeah. Well, and that's essentially doing this kind of investing in your own happiness.
Investing in your own happiness. I mean, why not, right? I mean, we have some control over our resources. We may as well use them in the best way possible.
Well, you even talk about figuring out a way to not just, make life memorable, but have these moments where you're savoring them, even having like a mini daily vacation, which I think is really appealing. And again, almost seems a little bit like some of what these people who are doing more, you know, reflective time are doing.
Yeah, sure. I mean, just go take a walk in a park nearby. Go sit and really enjoy a good cup of coffee. Or, you know, if you work in some interesting place, I mean, maybe you get a membership to an art museum that's two blocks away and like pop in and go see an exhibit, like, you know, every month or so. You just have these little adventures in your life that's something beyond the ordinary. It's getting outside of our comfort zone. Or it can be emotional risks too. I mean, maybe you actually have a real conversation with somebody, or you volunteer to do a presentation that otherwise somebody else would do, or you write something for your local paper. You know, it's just taking these little risks, it makes time seem more vast as well.
Yeah. Well, and also doing those things that are out of the ordinary are great for getting a boost of inspiration or creativity, even if you're not stuck creatively.
Yeah. And I mean, we need breaks anyway, and we take breaks anyway. I mean, here's the thing. People are like, I don't have time for that. Like, your brain takes a break at some point during the day. It may look like you're not really taking a break because you're just checking over at headlines on your phone while you're technically at your desk or whatever, but you're taking a break. Like, acknowledge that's what it is. And instead of reading these headlines that are not necessarily putting you in anything of a better mood, if you know you're reading the same news I am, which we live in the same world, so you probably are, go do something more, you know, adding beauty to your life in some way, shape, or form. And you'll get better ideas. You'll feel more relaxed. You will feel like you have more time.
It also has to do with spending time with others.
Yeah, this was a fascinating finding too. So I was comparing the time logs of people who felt like they had the most time and people who felt like they had the least time. People who felt like they had the most time, the amount of people's time perception scores, I'm going to see how I say this, people's time perception scores rose in direct correlation with how much time they spent with friends and family. And again, this is a Monday. So it was a work day for people in this study. But we have sort of ways we can spend more time actively engaged with friends and family or not. And so even people were saying, like, you know, do evening chores with wife or eat dinner with family. Like, they were just more likely to mention that they were including other people in this time, or, you know, go for a walk with kids and the dog, read stories with son. This is a sort of language that people who are in the high time perception scores were using, whereas people in the bottom weren't using that language. And you know, people were probably in the house with them. I mean, they had families. It's just that they were less likely to mention that sort of thing, or mention, you know, getting together with friends or anything along those lines. So, you know, make time for people. People actually make more time.
Sometimes once in a while, I'll get out of the house to, it sounds like I'm a recluse, but once in a while I get out of the house. I will go to a coffee shop and do co-working with a friend. I'll do it there. And it's helpful because it kind of adds to the push and the pull of the day. Whereas we, one, keep each other accountable for getting stuff done, but two, we also get to pause, have some coffee, talk about like the latest movie that we want to go see or that we have seen or something, and have that intentional break, and even maybe get up and go for a walk. We'll do that too. So that feels like almost incorporating a number of these different ideas together.
Yeah, that's really firing on all cylinders there. It's a break that includes physical activity, talking with someone you like, fresh air. Like, yeah, I mean, how could you not have more energy at the end of that? Or certainly you'll have more energy than just, you know, checking Twitter for 10 minutes.
Well, and the other thing is again, it's a deviation from the quote average workday, so that it doesn't feel like all five or however many days of the week that I did a, you know, put in a workday, that they were all the same.
Yeah. And it's that sameness and monotony that sort of makes time shrivel up, which is a paraphrase quote from William James here. He wrote a lot about time back in the, you know, 19th century, I guess, but he or early 20th, I forget exactly when it was, but, you know, he wrote about this monotony is what makes it seem like it doesn't exist. And so whatever you can do to not have complete monotony will make life seem more vast and time seem more vast. And you know, there's nothing wrong with routines. I mean, routines are good in many ways. Yeah. As you know this as a productivity person, having a good routine is what makes us get stuff done. So I'm not saying don't have a routine. It's just you want to have a good balance between routine and not routine. And figuring out where that might be that optimal point is for getting stuff done and yet feeling like you have more time.
Yeah. In fact, breaking the routine once in a while actually frees you up to get more done. And again, feel like you're less busy. Hey, look, I tied it all back around. Laura, it's been awesome talking with you. I want to direct everybody to get the book because I just found it was, you know, one part productivity, another part almost science fiction when we're talking about, you know, time and how we perceive it. So is there any kind of place and or bonuses you want to point people to make sure that they hit the ground running with this?
Yeah. So please, I mean, if you want to pick up a copy of Off the Clock or listen to it in your car on audiobook, whatever you want to do, that would be awesome. You can come visit me at my website, lauravanderkam.com. It's just my name. You can fill out the form there and I will send you a time log, any version of it you want, 15-minute, 30-minute PDF, Excel, well, we serve all comers here.
Yeah.
But, you know, just to give it a whirl, start seeing where the time really goes. So you can decide what you love about it, what you don't love about it, what you want to change and what you're just going to accept. And there's some, you know, freedom and acceptance as well. I mean, sometimes we just decide that we're going to deal with life as it is. And that's cool, too. But we want to have this knowledge because that's what puts us back in control. And that's really about what time freedom is.
Awesome. Yeah, we could all use some more freedom in our time. So, Laura, thank you so much for being on the show again. I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I don't know about you, but I walked away from reading this book, as well as this conversation with Laura, having a better perspective on time. But not only that, walking away with a determination to use some of these well-documented skills that these people have, who have a better perspective on time, who are a better steward of time. I am walking away determined to put into practice more of these. And that's not to say that I wasn't already doing it. However, being more intentional, being more clarified in my action steps about how to do that is what I'm walking away with. And I hope that you are too. I would love it if you'd let me know what you thought of this episode by going to the show notes for this episode at beyondthetodolist.com/221. There you'll be able to hit share and send this conversation to somebody you know that needs to hear it. Would you do that favor for me? Think of that one person that you know needs to hear more about having the right perspective on time and moving more towards feeling less busy, but also getting more done. And with that, I will see you next episode.